Next on BYUSN, Rock Chalk Nonsense. BYU football unbeaten no more. The Cougars dropped their first game of the season to Kansas. Why key BYU players said it happened and what now? Quarterback Jake Retzlaff details what went wrong for the offense and how this loss could actually be a good thing for BYU.
What? ESPN's Trevor Maddox shares his thoughts from the loss to Kansas on the matchup with Arizona State. And who won the week in Big 12 Pick'em? We'll tell you how we did as we recap what happened in the Big 12 this weekend.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hey! Monday, November 18th, I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who hasn't worn the sweatshirt he currently has on in months, Jerem Jordan.
It's tradition that when I'm sad about a certain loss, that I'll just wear the shirt that says sports. And here we are. So, yeah, bummer, man. I've not gone in the, what is it? The emotions of dealing with things. I've not gone to the anger part. I've just been, like, sad and disappointed. Because it was certainly there. We'll break it down in a sec. But it was there for the taking, man. Like, the magic could have continued. And it was so close.
You skipped over anger in the five stages of grief?
I just skipped over anger. Just, nope. Thank you. The stages of grief. Yes. Just skipped over it. Just flew right past it. Went, as they said, and it's a mad, 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 mad world. It just went sailing right out there.
That's hilarious.
If you've seen that movie, you know, you just, go watch it. It's old, like from the 60s. Very funny. Very funny. Rat Race is based on that movie.
I hate that sweatshirt so much.
I know, right?
I hate it because it never means good things.
I don't wear it when things are good. I only wear it when we're sad or mad.
But I feel the pain. Yeah. I wore black because I knew you'd wear that sweatshirt today.
Yeah, the end of the quest for perfection. Yeah.
9-1. Then you zoom out and look at the big picture, which we'll get to eventually.
I know, but
I have an advance as far as Jerem has through the five stages of grief.
Well, is today the day for the zoom out? I don't know. let's just be riled up here today.
Yeah, rile it up. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Kansas over BYU. The Cougs fall to 9-1.
Obviously, we wanted to win this one.
It was frustrating that we couldn't convert and couldn't get points on the board in the red zone.
Obviously, the statement 10 was not the one that we wanted.
There's some mistakes, and when you make mistakes, it's hard to win.
Oh, the undefeated train was fun while it was on the track. Choo-choo. Now the Cougars, 9-1, derailed a little bit, had to make a stop, hoping to get back on that track against Arizona State after BYU loses to Kansas 17-13. Another weird Scoregami game, by
apparently
the way.
Apparently Scoregami, yeah. Five BYU, this year, says Wolverine. Coach.
Five this year.
Five?
Wow. BYU only gives up 17 points at home to a really potent Kansas offense, and they lose by four. The question is why? Why did BYU lose this game? Let's start with this, Jerem. After the game, quarterback Jake Retzlaff and wide receiver Chase Roberts spoke about last week's practices specifically and how they impacted the way BYU played on Saturday night.
I think we could have been more locked in practice this week, and it rolls over into the game. So I think this is good for us, you know, and we'll come back into the film room and to practice and put our heart out there and know that, you know, we're not untouchable, you know, we can be beat.
This week we just didn't have the same urgency, and it carried over to the game, and I know that we're going to have a different set of urgency come Monday morning.
Jerem, you listened to that. Yep. What would you add to the question of why did BYU lose this game?
Within the game, there are four things that stick out. One of these needed to work out for BYU. None of them did, Spencer. We start before the end of the half. Unfortunately, the last 2 weeks, BYU's had some really, really poor execution at the end of the first half. They throw a fade. It gets intercepted. This is the same play as the two-point conversion, by the way, where it gets intercepted. It didn't cost BYU against Utah. They come down and get a field goal. That one really hurts. Okay, the next. Don't go three and out after the Mark Collins INT. You finally get a takeaway. You get the ball at midfield, three and out. Yeah, come on. The pooch punt is the killer. The pooch punt on 4th and 14. Unfortunately, Evan Johnson doesn't have his head turned around. He thinks they're going for it and going to throw it. And it hits him on the helmet. And even then, Spence, you got to come up with that football. It's right there. Oh, it's right there for the recovery. I think it's Jacob Robinson. Typically shorthanded, right?
Look at all the surrender cobras after this.
Oh, no.
No!
I realize that's tough. That is so unlucky. Like, BYU's had so many lucky plays, Spence. Both of those are extremely unlucky. And then the fourth is, if you told me that BYU has 1st and 10 at the 15 with about 2 minutes left, I would think that like 84% of the time BYU's points.
They're going to do it again. They're going to do it again.
The magic continues. The team of destiny, right? They had opportunities. They ran it three times. I mean, if you tell me you run it three times in a row, you think you're getting that first down, and then you're first and five. You get a penalty there that makes it fourth and 11. And now, because you think about that play that BYU ran, and Jake said on the radio, maybe he told you this, hey, I liked our fourth and six play. And Chase Roberts is short. You know, you think of Dax Milne, Coastal Carolina, like, ah, oh, just right there, a couple yards short. So one of those four needed to go BYU's way, and they did not. So you zoom out and you go, hey, five games decided by one score. You don't often go 5-0 in those. But this one was easily a win if BYU does one of those four things better.
This game was more likely to end in a BYU win than Oklahoma State and Utah. Those games, BYU was down to their last gasp breath and somehow found a way. It didn't feel that way, as you just chronicled. Like, when you're on the 15-yard line and your offense is rolling a little bit, it's like, okay, they're going to do it again. This isn't as dramatic as the other ones.
And Kansas is going, we're 0-5 in these situations. We're going to blow another fourth quarter
lead. Here we go again.
Within 2 minutes.
Here we go again.
Fifth time this year. Yeah.
It turned into the opposite. Mm-hmm. BYU, who has been so good in those scenarios, did not execute. And Kansas, who has been so bad in those scenarios, found a way. Strange, strange game, to say the least. And again, naturally, I want to process this and push it forward, but today is not that
no,
day.
No. Let's
today is
this.
Not that day.
We'll get to it tomorrow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what Jake Retzlaff and Chase Roberts were talking about with the practice scenario. I don't know what happened specifically in practice, so we have to take their word for that. And we can follow up with the coaches this week as to what that may have meant.
But can't you overcome that in the game? Like, they had amazing practices the whole year until now. I don't believe that. I bet there were some bad practices here and there where the offense didn't execute in the red zone. And then in the game, they figured it out. Because guess what? The BYU defense doesn't know what the team you actually play on Saturday doesn't know what's coming. But BYU's defense typically does.
But Jake said specifically, we just didn't have the urgency that we have had in previous weeks of practice. What does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. He kept talking about the little details and just the feeling around it. Is it because of the hangover from the Utah win? Because BYU expended so much energy and it was like such a relief that BYU didn't lose that game, that there was this kind of emotional hangover? I don't know. It's hard to quantify what all of those elements mean, but I do know that all three of the post-game interviews we did, one of the first things they said was, we had a bad week of practice. Tyler Batty said it. Chase Roberts said it. Jake Retzlaff said it.
I wonder if that was said in the locker room, so it was tough.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not putting it all on that, but it is something, because they mentioned it, that we should talk about. Now, the other thing that I just can't get over is, even though BYU did have all of these things go wrong, and it started to feel like, man, this is just not BYU's night, with the fluky bounce off the helmet of Evan Johnson and then Jacob Robinson not falling on it and then the poor execution at the end of the first half. Even with all of these things going wrong, they still had an opportunity to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So not being able to overcome it because BYU has done it so consistently this season, that's probably why this one is so hard to digest for BYU as a team and most fans, because their identity is built in this. It is what they are. We just find a way. Great teams find a way. BYU finds a way. And they didn't. So now they're second guessing for the first time all year. And it happens right before they go into the biggest game in the Kalani Sitake era. Can we just agree on that right now?
Given expanded playoff, given Big 12, given expansion, I dare say the biggest game in BYU football history up to this point.
It's
obviously
wild.
There have been bigger games playing for national championships and so on and so forth. But the opportunity to actually get to the Big 12 title game and the expanded playoff, the stakes could not be higher here. And we told you last week Kansas is good. Like, I know BYU should have won the game, but we told you that Kansas was sneaky, weird, good, and they came in and won, which is disappointing. Arizona State's better than Kansas.
Yes. You know
Arizona
what?
State is obviously in the record, obviously, duh. But you watch Arizona State play, and they are much improved, like BYU from last year. Three wins last year. They're up to 8-2. And the winner of this game controls their destiny to get in the Big 12 title game. This
amazing.
Is
it's an amazing contextual setup.
There are scenarios where if BYU has a second loss where they can still get in, but they are few and far between. This feels like a must win to get to the
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Here's what's also frustrating, Jerem. Kansas comes in with this vaunted offense. They're averaging over 200 yards passing and 200 yards rushing per game, 421 a game. Oh, they just put up 532 against Iowa State. They embarrassed the Cyclones. BYU's defense holds Kansas 242 yards. They didn't get close to 100 yards rushing. 17 points. And the only seven they score in the second half is because they got the ball on the 3-yard line.
So it was, I mean, and the defense was on the field for that 4th and 14. So you don't say, hey, it was special teams. It was the defense. The defense played spectacular. Tyler Batty owned it after the game. He said, well, they scored, and you can't lose if you don't give up any points. So we need, he's saying like, well, we need a shutout. You didn't need a shutout. You just, on that punt, it's just tough.
At home, this team holding Kansas 17 points, the defense had more than enough to win that game. More than enough.
They were spectacular. The offense needs to figure some things out. Let's talk about that for a sec. So credit to Nate Slack for the idea. In the last 25 possessions, going back to the second half of UCF, BYU has 3 touchdowns. They are not clicking at the same rate they were first half UCF and prior to that, right? Oklahoma State and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, this team's got to figure it out going into Arizona State because you may have to have a shootout with Arizona State. This feels like more shootout type than it does 17-13. So can you, like Sam Levitt doesn't turn the ball over, amazing scrambler. Like he's become one of the top like 7 quarterbacks. Like he's in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in this league. His brother Dallin played at BYU, by the way. And I believe their dad, I think, played here too. So there's that connection. Cam Scadaboo, tremendous running back who looks like the juggernaut. Like he's hard to bring down. This is going to be a tough game. It really is. Tyson, the receiver, is incredible. They went into Manhattan and were up 24-0 and kind of cruised to victory, but they were dominating Kansas State.
24-0.
BYU did that too at home. But I am very concerned because the legacy of this team is based on how they finish. It's not going to be on 9-0. I don't want this team to be wedged into 90-01 where you say, oh, amazing starts.
Until the end,
and then they fizzle out, and then you don't count them as one of the great teams in BYU history. What I want for this team is to surprise odds makers, which, by the way, BYU 3.5-point dog right now, opened at 1 at ASU. Beat Houston. You're in the Big 12 title game. You have 60 minutes to get to the playoff, probably against Colorado the way they're playing. They look great over the weekend against Utah. This team has a chance to do something amazing, but if they don't show up and they lose at Arizona State, oh, the fizzle. I know we'll say, oh, well, they were projected at 4.5 wins, and it's still good. They went to the Alamo.
Whatever. Sure, yeah.
That's good. Don't get me wrong. But what if greatness is sitting there? And it is.
The opportunity
Go get
is
that.
There.
Yes.
BYU still controls their path to the Big 12 championship game and the college football
and
playoff.
And the playoff. Still.
And it's late November, and BYU still controls their path. They need help from nobody to get to the Big 12 title game and the college football playoff. So that is the silver lining in all of this.
Sure, absolutely.
Man, what a frustrating loss.
It just stinks because it's not like BYU showed up and got dominated and it was like, whoa, BYU got worked. No. This was a fluke, punt, bounce. This was a fade in the end zone that you can control. Throw it to the back pocket, right? Like, your first and 10 of the 50? Like, these were controllable elements, and this is controllable, too, at ASU. The problem is ASU is a top-3 team in this league. They look like a top-3 team in this league right now.
It's November 18th.
It's a big game.
And BYU needs, essentially, to just beat Arizona State, and they're in the Big 12 championship game. Can we just...
Think about that for a second. Let's think. It's essentially the
BYU's in the playoffs. BYU's already they're in the playoffs this week.
And this is the round of 64.
This is the wild card, if you will.
Yes, to get into the game, to get into the playoffs.
Yep. They're in the playoffs. Playoffs start this week.
Yeah.
For BYU.
Look at it that way. Yeah.
Against Arizona State.
Absolutely.
And for Chase Roberts, interesting that he talked about not just winning games, but he spoke specifically about dominating games, and he even threw out the line, look, we probably need to make some statements and win games by 20 or 30.
Yep.
That's ambitious for sure,
yep.
But he knows that everybody's watching BYU, and they all kind of think, oh, BYU's just,
they just hang on.
Hanging on.
They just barely do
just
it.
Just hanging on by a thread.
They get lucky. That's the vibe around BYU National.
So what Chase is saying is, we need, as an offense, to go out there and make another statement. Kind of like BYU did against UCF. And BYU put together a really almost complete performance against UCF and made a statement.
Yes and no. You don't need to make a statement. Just score 21 points at home. Just score a touchdown at the end of the half. Just score a touchdown in the final 2 minutes. You don't need to make a statement. The statement is winning. That's what it's been. I don't think you need to change up what you're doing. You need to go to what you were doing. The last 2 weeks, granted, at Utah, I don't care how it happens. And frankly, against Kansas, I don't care how it happens. Just win. I know Chase is saying we're capable of more. That's what he's saying. We're capable of more.
Sure. Put up 50 against Houston. Great. Just win the game against Arizona State.
Just win the game against Houston. I don't need style points. I just need wins. Style points are for Indiana to at large should they lose to Ohio State, which they feel like they're in at this point.
So the playoffs start this week.
Spencer, chances were BYU was going to lose at some point.
We said it. How many times did we say it? Yeah.
It's okay. Like,
odds are that they're going
to
lose.
Was BYU dominant enough to show us that they should win every regular season game? I would argue no. They've been making incredible plays in crunch time to be a clutch team. They should be credited with that, not penalized. In this situation, unfortunately, it didn't happen. Chances are you're going to lose the game. But can it be only one and not two going into postseason? Because if you get to two, you're in a bunch of tiebreak scenarios and you might be out. Got to win this week.
In the previous 9-0 starts in BYU football history, the teams finished 11-1 in 79, 13-0, national championship in 84, 12-2 in 2001, 11-1 in 2020.
They weren't in power leagues. That's the difference. But 11 was the minimum.
There you go.
And 11 will still be there if you lose two. Like, if you're 10-2 and you don't go to the Big 12 title game, you win a bowl game, you're 11-2. That's still there, right? So that's what 9-0 starts in BYU history look like.
All right, what does the loss actually mean for BYU moving forward? We've gotten into a little bit of that already, but let's go back.
We said we weren't going to push forward, but we couldn't help
kind
it.
Of, we or couldn't we kind of have to. You kind of have to. We're processing through the grief stages.
I don't, and the volume goes up, too. The more animated we are, the more people at home are like, whoa, why are they yelling at me?
Yes. I feel like I'm in my Adam Sandler mode right now. I get really frustrated. I'm kind of sad. And then I'm just angry. All right, back to the three post-game interviews. Jake Retzlaff, Chase Roberts, and Tyler Batty all talking about what this means for BYU in the long run, and how maybe this is somehow a good thing for BYU?
I think we're going to come out and practice fired up, and I think we're going to come put it on Arizona State, just knowing that if we don't execute, like, we can be beat. It's not going to turn out in miracle form like it's been in the past.
But, and I think it's going to kick this team in the butt, this offense in the butt, and we're going to get rolling because, we, like I said, we still got a lot to play for. And we're a really good football team. And so it's about continuing that journey that we're on and just keep getting better every week.
I think we've been here before. You know, you look at our loss last year at Oklahoma State and how the guys have responded. That's really what it comes down to is, hey, we're still in the driver's seat. And so let's go to work and let's get ready for Arizona State next week.
Wow. How about Chase saying we're going to come out on fire at practice and we're going to put it on Arizona State? I hope that mentality matriculates its way through the entire locker room and that those
good
guys embrace that, right?
And by the way, the ones who talk after the game like that, after a tough loss, those are the leaders.
Respect.
Those are the leaders.
Nobody
the
wants
team.
To do that.
And they're saying the right things. They're saying the right things. Nope, we're better than this. We've got to put in the work. Got to be good in practice. Chase's opinion is even pushing it forward, which is pretty interesting. So we all hope, if you're watching this show, that BYU really puts in the work, shows up in Tempe. There's going to be a great Cougar crowd there, I think. It's going to be awesome. It's homecoming, by the way, for Arizona State. This is one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game, BYU's played in recent history, because the Big 12 championship game appearance is on the line. You'd still have to beat Houston, but this is a massive opportunity, and everything that BYU's wanted to get is still there, baby. It's still there. Come on.
Question of the day later in the week, and I'm guessing we'll ask it. This is the biggest game in BYU football history since when? Like that, we're there.
Ever?
We're there.
Like, obviously, it's not bigger than winning a national title in 84 or whatever. But like, let's talk modern era here. Mm. Yeah, pretty big.
Our question of the day. How have your expectations shifted for BYU football after the loss to Kansas? At Philip Riggs 85 answers on X. They haven't. Still have everything left to play for.
Just no at-large opportunity now in the playoff. Just two lost BYU, not gonna get in, sorry. I just don't see
there it. Aren't enough opportunities for BYU to make a statement enough to earn an at-large with two losses.
Right, besides the Big 12 title game, but you just need to win it. Yeah.
At JTay Kugan X says, they haven't. Mm. Still an elite season, and this team has given us great memories and so much to cheer for. Yes to all of that. We as fans get to watch a top 25 Big 12 matchup with a conference championship game, conference or college football playoff berth on the line in the second P4 year. Are you kidding me? I believe in this team.
How's that the elite voice? That's pretty good. There's something better? There's something better than that?
The playoffs start this week for BYU.
I love it. I love it.
Dude, are we not entertained? I know we're frustrated.
Oh, Gladiator reference. Gladiator 2 coming out soon. Is it this week? I think it's this week.
I have no idea.
Denzel Washington
on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Coordinator's Corner. Lots to discuss always in that show. Great insight. To me, that's one of the most insider shows we have, by the way. All of them are insider. Coordinator's Corner, you hear from the coaches. Today, 2 Eastern time on the BYU TV app, you got Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick.
It's time for another Mattich Monday. ESPN's Trevor Mattich joins the conversation to discuss what he feels went wrong and how BYU can rectify it before the showdown in Tempe against Arizona State. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We don't like this feeling.
Frustrated, but we got to get over it. We got to learn from this.
We're a mature team. We bounce back from adversity and still got all of our goals in mind, and we're going to bounce back and go beat Arizona State.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It is now time to welcome in for his weekly segment, the fabulous Trevor Mattich of ESPN, college football insider, expert, and national champion for another Mattich Monday. Trevor, a little bit different feeling this time around. This is the first non-winning Monday for BYU since late November of last year. It's been a wild ride, so as you assess what happened to BYU over the weekend, how are you feeling about the Cougars at this stage?
Well, I still feel good about them. All their goals are still in front of them. It's just that they've lost their mulligan. By losing this game, now they have to win out. They have to win the conference championship in order to make the playoffs. But it's still all there. They still control their destiny to that. And when you look at this game against Kansas, it was lost by execution. It was just pure execution. And had they executed better on simple things, I think they would have won the game. So I can't say that they're overrated. They had some sort of problem. They didn't execute in key moments when they have executed in key moments in close games leading up to this point. All of those things are within their grasp to handle. And so this is still a positive moment in time in this BYU season.
Certainly the defense played well enough to win, 17 points allowed and 242 total offense. They shut down that Kansas rushing game to the tune of 73 yards, 2.2 yards per carry. Those are all winning numbers. Unfortunately, the offense mustered 13 points, Trevor, and they have 3 touchdowns in the last 25 drives. Where do you start the conversation with trying to get this BYU offense back to what it was a couple weeks ago?
You start it with taking the plays that are there and making them. I mean, let's go all the way back to the interception at the end of the first half. That they had a first and goal at the 5, BYU did. And they had about 40 seconds to go. They had 2 timeouts. They came away with no points. Because on first down, that interception was a throw to the right side of the end zone. And if that was supposed to be a fade, then you need to be conservative in that you need to know where to miss. If you're going to miss on first down and you still have downs to go, then you need to miss a fade up and over the top so that it goes over the defender, over the receiver, and instead of landing on the boundary where the receiver can reach out and grab it and toe tap in for a touchdown, you have it land a couple of yards outside the boundary if you're going to miss. That ball was thrown inside and low. If it was supposed to be a back shoulder throw, then you need to miss by throwing it too far to the outside so that even the receiver can't reach back and get it, but the defender can't get it either. Instead, whichever it was, a back shoulder, the ball was thrown in the wrong spot. It missed in the wrong place. If it were fourth down, well, you put it where the receiver has a chance. But on first down, you need to miss in the right place. So that's one of those things that they could have done better. Had that interception not occurred, even if they did not score a touchdown there, if you assume a field goal, then at the end of the game, they're kicking a field goal to win the game instead of having to go for it down four on fourth and 11.
Trevor, as you look at the BYU offense, really over the last 26 drives, we've talked about this earlier in the show, but only three touchdowns in those last 26 drives. Which fundamental differences need to be altered for BYU's offense on top of what you just talked about specifically from the Kansas game?
Well, I think the big picture is third down conversions. BYU right now is 121st in the nation in third down percentage. And they're really good on fourth down percentage. But when you have third down failures, you got to punt. It stops drives. I mean, you look at the last drive at the end of the first half. The first drive at the beginning of the second half. It was a 17-play drive. They drove it down into field goal range. And then they ran the ball three times and ended up kicking a field goal. They ran it on third and sixth down in the red zone, ended up kicking a field goal. It was a failure on third down. Third and sixth in the red zone is a difficult ask. That's not necessarily third manageable. That's kind of third and long right on the border. And so the failures to run successfully on first and second down were why they ended up with third and six. And so those third down conversions are what are stopping drives for BYU. They've overcome it in the past because the passing offense has been such a big play offense. Jake Retzlaff coming into the game was only averaging 58% in his completion percentage. But that was in part because he throws the ball deep down the field a lot. And so that's perfectly fine. These quarterbacks that are completing 73% of their passes are throwing mostly short passes at or near the line of scrimmage. Jake is throwing the ball deep down the field. And those chunk plays erase some of the problems that not being able to convert third downs very well have caused for this team. Well, when the chunk plays weren't there, then those third downs needed to be converted. And BYU was able to drive the field, but when they got into the red zone, those third downs were not being converted.
Yeah, third and 6.7 was tough, and only two plays of 20-plus against Kansas. Certainly explosive plays would help. After the game, a lot of guys talked to the media and to Spencer about, hey, this is a good thing. This is a wake-up call. We got to be ready, right, for Arizona State. Do you buy into the idea that, hey, it is a wake-up call, and BYU will be ready maybe more than they would have been for the Sun Devils?
I don't buy into the wake-up call thing. I think that's good PR. I think the players are saying the right things because they are saying that, hey, we are doubling down on everything that we're doing. And that's a good thing. But I didn't see signs from this team that they believed the hype. I saw the signs from this team that they were working hard and preparing hard, and everything was being done the right way. I think everything was done the right way coming into this game. At least that's the way it looked. But then there were some things that failed on specific moments of execution. You know, one of those moments was on the goofy quick kick that Jalen Daniels did. You know, he lines up on fourth and 14th. He punts the ball. It hits a BYU player who's in man coverage in the helmet, bounces off, and another BYU player had a chance just to gather it in and recover it. He was right there. There were no Jayhawks around. But instead of being able to field that ball, it somehow bounced off him as he dove on it, and it went off into the distance. And Kansas State got it at the 3-yard line and then scored a touchdown from there. Well, that was a moment of execution. It wasn't a moment of, gee, we believe our hype, right? Now, I'm not pointing the finger at any particular players and blaming the loss on them. But what I'm saying is that the concept of being a wake-up call, I don't think they need a wake-up call. They just need to execute certain individual plays better.
Trevor Maddux of ESPN is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Chase Roberts, BYU's star receiver, and Tyler Batty, who's one of the stars on defense, and Jake Retzlaff, as Jeremy was mentioning, all spoke with me after the game, and they all pointed to, we didn't have a good week of practice. Like, that was almost the first thing that all three of them said out of their mouths. And it's understandable coming off of the euphoric high of beating Utah and just an emotional hangover. So, Trevor, how does BYU learn from something like that so they don't have this carryover and don't have a bad week of practice if they do encounter another big emotional win like that?
Well, even with what they say is a bad week of practice, I'm sure it felt bad to them. But when you look at how they played the game, it didn't look like they had a bad week of practice. And so, you know, the emotional carryover, there's a cliche in sports, is don't let the last team that beat you twice, because you're so down the next week that you don't really get up and peak at the right time for the next game. And I get that. But again, look at how the defense played. This Kansas game played out the opposite of how I expected it to. Kansas, their offense has been peaking. They've been on fire recently. I mean, they put 532 total yards and 45 points on Iowa State the week before they played BYU. And that's one of the best defenses, Iowa State, in the Big 12. And when they didn't turn it over, when Kansas didn't make mistakes, they were virtually unstoppable. Devin Neal, Kansas's running back in that Iowa State game, set the all-time rushing record for Kansas. And he came in hot as well. He only had, 52 yards rushing against BYU? And I thought that Kansas would be able to move the ball and score. I thought that BYU would move the ball and score against a Kansas defense that was especially vulnerable against the pass, and it didn't turn out to be that kind of game. So BYU was fighting in there. They did a really outstanding job on defense. And like we talked about, just a couple of plays of execution on offense. So, you know, I think the players, if they felt like they didn't have a good week of practice, I mean, they were there. They were in that week of practice, but they still came out and played well enough to win this game, but for one or two plays. So, you know, focusing in practice when things go badly, which hadn't happened for BYU this year up until this Kansas game, is something they can learn from, is something they can do better. But I don't want to put it all on, their Dabo was down because they were too happy about the Utah win, and therefore they didn't have a good enough week of practice to win the game against Kansas. They clearly were in position to win the game against Kansas. Could they have had a better week of practice? Sure. But that's something that they can get better at. And they better, because Arizona State's really good.
Let's talk about Arizona State. Sam Levitt, a guy whose brother played at BYU here, I believe dad played at BYU. Very athletic, doesn't turn it over. Cam Scataboo feels like the juggernaut. He is fun to watch. How does BYU win this game in a must-win, it feels like, to make the Big 12 title game?
Well, they've got to start with Cam Scataboo. He is, he's only 215 pounds, but he runs like he's 260. I mean, he's just a bulldozer. He's a bludgeon. And he came off a shoulder injury in that last game against Kansas State. And Kansas State limited him. I don't know if it was the defense just selling out to limit Scataboo or if it was lingering effects of that injury. But Sam Levitt, at quarterback for the Sun Devils, was able to make up for that. He had a magnificent game as a passer. So BYU is going to have to do what they did with Kansas. They'll have to stop the run first, and then they'll have to stop a quarterback who is capable, when he's hot, of making plays on defense. And then offensively, they're going up against a defense that is very sound. It's very solid. It's very disruptive. And so they'll need to execute the plays that are there. They don't need to create plays that aren't there. They won't need to make spectacular plays for the ages, but they need to take what the defense gives them. And when the opportunity is there, they need to do the right things. And from a perspective of quarterback throwing the ball, if he's going to miss a throw, he needs to make sure he misses in the right spot, not the wrong spot, because turnovers are going to be huge in a game that features two defenses that have been stopping the run well recently and two offenses that have been struggling to score some points.
Trevor, let's finish with this quickly. Where do you expect BYU to show up tomorrow in the latest, greatest college football playoff rankings?
Well, they were sixth in the ranking last week. They were seventh in the AP last week. AP dropped them back to 14. So I would expect BYU to drop all the way out of the top 12 in this next ranking. And if not, they'd be lingering just at the very back of the top 12. But either way, that stuff doesn't matter. Now, if BYU wins out, wins the conference championship, they're still in the playoff. If they pick up a second loss anywhere along the way, they're out of the playoff. And so where the ranking is right now is interesting for fans, but it doesn't change what their new reality is now that they've lost the game.
Trevor, always insightful. Great stuff. We appreciate the time on every Monday as part of BYU Sports Nation's BYU football coverage. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I expect BYU going out that point to show up somewhere between 12 and 14, 12 being best case scenario. Yeah. 13, 14 probably most likely.
Yeah, not going to be 11. Don't think you're going to be 15. Yeah. Have further review is tomorrow at 7 Eastern on BYU TV's app as Dave Blaine and the boys talk about what happened against Kansas. Look ahead to Arizona State.
After the break, strong performances from BYU cross country over the weekend, punching tickets to nationals. Plus, what Charles Barkley, Shaq, Ernie Johnson, Kenny, and the Inside the NBA crew have to do with BYU football? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your Monday headlines.
Number six, BYU football lost its first game of the season to Kansas, 17-13 on Saturday night. The Cougars were stopped on fourth down inside the 10-yard line with less than a minute to go. BYU now 9-1 on the season, 6-1 in the Big 12. And if they win out, they will be in the Big 12 title game. With the loss, BYU drops to number 14 in the AP poll. The updated college football playoff rankings will come out tomorrow night.
Let's roll with Cougars in the NFL, beginning with the unicorn, Taysom Hill. Doing it all for the Saints in a 35-14 win over the Browns. Taysom ran for 138 yards, had 50 receiving yards, 18 passing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, and added a 42-yard kickoff return.
Amazing.
Wow.
Was that his greatest day ever in the NFL?
Hard to argue that it wasn't.
I think it was pretty good.
Puka Nacua had a great day, too. 7 catches, 123 yards, and a diving touchdown grab. And a 28-22 win for the Rams over the Patriots. Former BYU linebacker Sione Takitaki had one tackle for New England in the loss. Fred Warner had 3 tackles for San Francisco in a 20-17 loss to Jerem Seahawks. Geno Smith Gino. With the dramatics.
Geno!
Ryan Rico punted 5 times for an average of 50 yards in a Bengals crushing 34-27 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego.
Sunday and Monday Night Football, the Bengals are like right there. But not winning them.
That's the season for the Bengals.
Yeah. Men's basketball beat Idaho 95-71 on Saturday. Thanks to career highs from your boy Foose Traore and Richie Saunders. Foose had 29 points on 11 of 12 from the field.
Foose.
With 9 rebounds. Saunders, career high 26 as well on 10 of 15. Stuffed the stat sheet. 4 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 4 steals. Saw Richie's dad. He was in sacrament meeting at a church because his sister's in our ward. Uh-huh. He's excited about what's going on here.
Should be.
Let's go. Freshman Yegor Demon also had a strong performance, 16 points, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals for the Russian. With the win, BYU improves to 4-0 on the season.
They're going to be 5-0 later this week.
Yeah.
BYU women's basketball also 4-0. They beat Idaho State 77-68 on Saturday in Pocatello behind strong performances with the backcourt duo of Delaney Gibb and Amari Whiting. Gibb, freshman phenom, 22 points. 4 3-pointers. She added 6 rebounds and 2 assists. Whiting notched her second career double-double with 11 points and 10 rebounds, adding 3 assists and 3 steals. Cougars, unbeaten just like the men.
How you feeling about the orange paint there inside the 3-point?
I hate it. To put it lightly.
Tell me how you really feel. Women's soccer lost 1-0 to Santa Clara Friday night.
I hate that too.
The NCAA tournament. The game-winning goal coming in the 70th minute. Looked like BYU tied it, but it was offside late in the game. BYU finished the season 9-7-5.
Number one, BYU men's and women's cross-country both punching their tickets to the NCAA National Championships on Friday. Both teams finishing first overall, scored 52 points. Both teams. Top 4 runners finished in the top 10 of the respective races, and top 5 runners finished in the top 25. Nationals this Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin. Massive weekend for BYU athletics.
Oh, there's so much going on. Like you, I'd say you, meaning the viewer, not you, Spencer, because I know you know our schedule. Number 24, women's volleyball swept Houston on Saturday. Double-digit kills from Claire Little, Ellie Mortensen, and Kirstie Strong. BYU's 9-5 on the season in the Big 12. Up next, home match against Cincinnati on Thursday night.
How about this? Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports reporting that the Big 12 Conference we'll see 13 football games per year move from ESPN streaming to linear TV on TNT and TBS.
I love this.
As well as 15 men's basketball games beginning in the fall of 2025 and spanning the next 6 seasons. Mm. More exposure. This deal comes as part of a settlement between the NBA and Warner Brothers. Discovery that also gives ESPN the rights to show inside the NBA. So this, I mean, this is...
That show survives,
yeah.
Which is great news for all of us.
Yes.
Great news.
Warner Brothers Discovery is also, again, is showing or giving ESPN the rights to show inside the NBA. This is exciting. I love that show. Love it.
It doesn't look...
The disc deal will shift 13, again, football games, 15 men's basketball games from ESPN to linear TV networks, TNT and TBS.
ESPN Plus, meaning if the game is going to be ESPN Plus only, it could be one of those games on TNT TBS.
Put them over there.
What?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And Ashley Hatch and the Washington Spirit beat Gotham FC in penalty kicks to advance in the NWSL Finals. Congratulations. The two-seed Spirit will play the one-seed Orlando Pride in Kansas City on Saturday for the Cup.
After the break, BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff on what specifically went wrong for the BYU offense and more specifics on how this loss could be just what BYU needs moving forward to Arizona State. One-on-one with the QB next on BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B following the Kansas loss by BYU. I spoke with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff on what the heck went wrong, how BYU rectifies it, and why this may be a good thing for the Cougars moving forward to Arizona State. One-on-one with Jake Retzlaff.
Jake, I know we can point to a handful of plays where you feel like this game was maybe decided, but let's just start with the play call at the end of the first half on the decide to throw the fade to the tight end. What did you see there and what happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, the look we got was the look to go there. I just, you know, made a short throw, and just like unforced error like that is something you look back on. You just got to fix and get inside games, like you said.
Even then, still in position to potentially win the game with all of the offensive struggles that happened this contest against Kansas. So where do you feel like BYU fell short tonight when you did have those opportunities?
We didn't attack the details. It started in practice. Not a great week of practice leads to not great execution in the game. It's unfortunate. It's hard to say what now. You got to look at the film, obviously, go back. But I know that we're going to have a new sense of urgency because this kick in the butt, it's going to be good for us. We still control our own destiny, and we're looking forward to it.
What was the mindset going into those final four downs when you got to the 15-yard line and you were on knocking on the door, potentially scoring a touchdown?
Yeah, we felt confident in the offense. We felt confident in what we were doing. The play calls were good. We loved what we had. It's just unfortunate the way it happened, and the false start is unfortunate, man. It's just, like I said, unforced errors that we bit ourselves today and shot ourselves in the foot a couple times. And so we're just going to look forward to getting in the film room, clean that stuff up, and then come back next week because we still got a lot to play for.
You mentioned it wasn't a great week of practice. What was it about it that made you feel that way?
It's just, you know, like the details. It's all in the details. This game is not, it's not the basics. You know, it is the basics. It's the little things that make champions champions. And we've been that so many times this year and done that in so many times and attacked the week in so many ways. This week we just didn't have the same urgency and it carried over to the game. And I know that we're going to have a different set of urgency come Monday morning.
You're staring down Arizona State as the team's playing really well at their place. You say you're looking forward to the challenge. How do you flush this and get to the stage of showing up with your hair on fire on Monday?
Yeah, just learn from it. The L's in the loss column, it's not losses, it's for lessons. So it's a win and lessons column. And so we gotta look at this game and just learn from it in every way we can. Like I said, get in the details of it and what we're not doing very well, and then fix that and then do those things extremely well. Turn the weaknesses into strengths. And then, I mean, you've seen what this team can do. We're a lot better than what we put on the field today. And so it's about doing that on next Saturday.
I do want to point out one thing that did seem to be working well tonight, and that was the run game. It really allowed you to move the ball, especially from the 20 to the 20. So how do you build from that moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we got to take the positives too. You learn, and then you take the positives, and you lean on those a little bit too. I thought the O-line, they did a great job. Tight ends did a great job in the run game. It was fun to get in the run game a little bit myself, and the running backs ran the ball really hard. It's cool to see that 30 personnel with three running backs in the game, because we got three studs and more. Honestly, we had four or five studs at running back, and so it's good to see to get them going. And getting the run game going at this point in the season is a good deal. Just keep running the ball. It opens up a lot more things downfield, and that's going to be good for us down the road.
Again, as you push forward to Arizona State, what kind of a mental approach do you take as an individual? Because I know you're frustrated with how you play and the team play, but what do you do over the weekend to get yourself ready?
First thing is get the body right, get a good night's sleep tonight, and then tomorrow is about getting recovery and then getting in the film room and getting a jump early. After a loss, you got a little more motivation, and that's the good thing about, you know, there's not a lot of bright sides to losses, but there is one, and at the end of the day, it's going to kick you in the butt, and I think it's going to kick this team in the butt, this offense in the butt, and we're going to get rolling, because we, like I said, we still got a lot to play for. And we're a really good football team. And so it's about continuing that journey that we're on and just keep getting better every week. I've been saying that since the beginning of the season. We've been getting better every week. This week we didn't get better. But, you know, we'll get back on that trend next week against Arizona State.
You do control your own destiny. And it almost feels like whoever wins that game next week is going to go to the Big 12 championship game. So what's the key to handling that type of added pressure now that comes with the contest you're going to be playing?
Yeah, at this point in the season, there's always the postseason talk, and you hear me reference we control our own destiny, but the best way to approach that is just go after that week and get after that week, because you can control what you can control, and that's going out and playing your best on the field and worrying about the game. We talk about how we got to make statements every week. We have statement 11 next week, and so, like, it's about getting focused on that. It's Super Bowl 11. We got to go approach that game like it's the last game of our lives, and I believe that this team will, and then we do that, there'll be a good result at the end of the day.
We saw some killer instinct at UCF, and then it was survive last week, and you fall short this week. So what's the key to getting back to that offense, having the killer instinct that was alive and well on the road in Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, the details of things, and just being on the attack, man, you said it well. Like, it's about not thinking I got to, you know, counter their defensive moves. It's about going after them and making them play with you instead of trying to play with them. And we've done a really good job of that this year, like you said, at UCF. We did a really good job of that. Last week was really good defense in Utah, and this was a good defense here in Kansas, but we didn't attack like we usually do, like you said. And so we just, like I said, it's all in the details, man. It's the simple things, and it's getting back to the simple things, doing everything right, and that's what's going to give you the favorable result at the end of the day. And so, like I said, get in the film room this weekend and just rally behind this team. This team is different. We keep saying that this team is super close for a reason, and we're going to show how close we are the way we come out next Saturday.
What'd you take from your message from your head coach Kalani Sitake in the locker room?
Coach Kalani is the greatest mentor I've ever had. That guy is unbelievable, and he talked about how we got to be real men, and real men are going to walk out of that locker room with our head high regardless and see our families and just be positive, because people didn't come here to see us upset. And we just want everybody to know that it's not the end of the world. We're upset. We're really upset. There's no doubt about that, but we play for the joy of winning. And it's about just getting back on track with that. And, you know, the little things, I'll say that a million times, but it's the little things is going home after a long day and a day that didn't go in our favor and a day we wish we could have back. But you got to go approach the next day as the next day, no matter what. And you can't take the lulls into the personal home life or anything like that. You got to be able to be the same guy every day. That's what real men do. And so that's what we're going to try to do as a team.
We'll finish with this. You mentioned getting the body right tomorrow. How are you feeling physically at this point of the season?
Yeah, you know, November football is hard football, so the body's not always going to be 100%. I feel pretty good. Nothing major, which is always great. And so it's, like I said, get back in the rehab. It's the bumps and the bruises of the game. Cold weather makes it a little bit, you know, tougher. The ground's a little harder and stuff like that. And so just getting that worked out of the system and so I can feel 100% by Saturday.
Jake, we wish you a speedy recovery to get the body right and to get right for Arizona State. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks to Jake Retzloff for chatting with you after the game. That was insightful. BYU football with Kalani Sitake and the show debut of BYU basketball with Kevin Young coming up, a combo show tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
And who won the week in Big 12 Pick'em? We'll recap it right after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation and a look at the Big 12 Pick'em guest picker standings. Tom Young last week going 3-3. Ashley Hatch still the goat, Jaron.
Buller off the board now.
I won the week with a 4-2 record.
Nice.
Tom and you went 3-3.
Yep.
You still hold a 3-game lead over me for the season standings.
Okay.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Nana Y65 on X, who says, when I remember my August expectations, I'm still in a happy place. I'm grieving my adjusted November expectations.
Well put.
Yes.
Elite.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about all the Cougs in the NFL? Taysom Hill crushing it. Fun picture with Zach Wilson, Tyler Allgeier at the Falcons-Broncos game with Neil Paulu, Lopini Katoa, Puka with Tione Takitaki. Well done, boys.
So fun to watch those guys ball out. Our thanks to today's guests, Trevor Maddich and Jake Retzlaff.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to the great defensive back, Tony Crutchfield.
Nice.
We'll see you for Coordinator's Corner, 2 Eastern, noon Mountain, on the app. Go Cougs!